In this episode of Bear Podcast,
Happy Thanksgiving,
Prep Talk,
Things Just Got Gayer in Nashville,
Shoot the Gays,
and Benji Getting the Snip.
All these coming up. Stay tuned.
Bear Podcast, 545.
Hey, all you bears.
He's texting the buff and the big hairy man.
So scientists may have finally solved the puzzle of what makes a person gay.
Well, I'm not taking you again, so I'm going to scrub there and fix it for you.
Can I do a podcast in my underwear?
Gay, the geek and the bizarre.
It's one of those things that's funny, cute,
what? That's two glasses of wine.
He's a lightweight, so it don't take much.
You're listening to BearPodcast.com.
Okay, fine. You really have to.
Welcome, everyone, to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I am Ray.
And welcome to episode 545. And it's a Monday, November 24th, 2014. It's a little early this week because...
It's Thanksgiving!
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone!
Gobble, gobble, gobble!
So, yeah, we decided to record on a Monday because we're going to be busy this week, you know, that's cooking, right. Preparing for, cooking, for the holidays.
Dealing with the family.
Mm-hmm. I'll be preparing traditional Thanksgiving egg rolls.
Ah, turkey?
Turkey egg rolls. The usual. Yeah, I always bring it every year. I prepare egg rolls for Thanksgiving, which is always good. How about you? Aside from the usual turkey, what are you going to prepare this year?
Prozac stuffing.
And with Lipitor on the side?
Yeah, like Lipitor or something on the side. So, yeah. Now, I'm making the turkey this year.
Okay.
Cooking a carrot cake. Mashed potatoes, because they want mashed potatoes for Thanksgiving. Probably some deviled eggs, mac and cheese.
How about cranberry sauce? Straight from the can?
Well, they usually mix it up and do something fancy with it. So,
okay.
I usually let them handle that.
You should always. I think I've had cranberry sauce. I think Mike made some cranberry sauce before from scratch, which mm-hmm. is great. I mean, it's, you know, I guess that's the way you do it. It's not from the can.
Well, there's two cans sitting in my closet, so I ain't too worried about it. So
they're your backup.
They're your backup. So mm-hmm. like a modern family, the backup turkey.
The backup.
So
okay, so it was quite a busy weekend for me, actually, because I went to Renaissance Festival on Sunday, yesterday. Because we were supposed to go Saturday, but it was raining, so I decided not to go.
Because that's what it's been doing here all week. Mm-hmm. And poor Devin and Jay, their entire crew.
Oh, my God.
The Chumley crew has got rained.
I feel bad for the attendees of Chumley crews. I mean, for many, many years, I've heard about so many good things about the Chumley crews. It's just that weather just did not
cooperate this year. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. I mean, what can they do? Nobody can get a refund because it's the force of nature.
Yeah. So
it got rained on and everything.
And they got delayed leaving port because of the weather, so they were a day late.
So one day late, and I heard they canceled one port.
They had to cancel one port because they couldn't make it because of the day delay. And what really made it bad, from my understanding, from the discussions, was that because they were docked and couldn't leave,
mm-hmm.
they could only serve certain liquors in the port of Houston.
Oh, really?
You couldn't have the full open bar.
Oh, no, because you can't go to the water.
Yeah, and then, of course, you can't open the casino until you're in international waters. So there was all this stuff they couldn't do, and they were stuck here on the ship Sunday.
Oh, all they could do is sex in their cabins.
Imagine that.
So I heard also that they couldn't go out of the boat, outside the boat, you know, the outside deck, because it's raining.
Well, it was raining, and I think most of the bear stuff was planted back. There's apparently a back pool on this boat.
Yeah, there's a back
pool. So there was planning a bunch of events on it, but it was too cold and wet for anybody to go out there and do stuff. So I think they did a lot of stuff inside and on the clubs and other stuff, so...
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, some people got a little cabin fever, and they're like very happy when the bars could open up and they could drink a lot of alcohol. And apparently, the hookuping got a little more better because there was no way to get out and do other things.
Steve, the hookup ratio.
Yeah. I understand there was an underwear party and a blackout party in somebody's room.
What's a blackout party?
You walk in and there are no lights on.
Oh, that's it?
That's it.
Oh my God. And the only light is from maybe a from your cell phone or something?
Yeah, I guess.
Somebody's cell phone. Wow, blackout party. I've never been in one.
So.
Okay, so they came and back.
That allegedly happened. I don't know if that I was not there.
All right.
You know how bears like spread rumors. So.
Mm-hmm. So what happened coming back?
Bad weather.
Bad weather still. Oh, God.
They were talking. I think Saturday night on the way back in. Apparently that bad storm that went through. We had a really bad storm that went through Houston, hit the Gulf too. And they were talking about everybody was dancing in the club, getting all of a sudden the boat started doing this and kept doing this. And
oh,
kept
no. doing this.
And all of a sudden people started grabbing poles to hang on to. Glasses started hitting the floor. And they're like, oh, no, we're going to do the Poseidon. And then it kind of finally straightened out.
The Poseidon.
Like, I was like.
I could imagine.
Jay of Shirley Winters.
I could just imagine. Ah! So, screaming. All the screaming queens. I'm kidding.
So, but that's the chance you take when you take a cruise because you never know if the weather's going to be good or bad. I mean, you can roll out there. And, I mean, the last cruise I took, one of the engines went out on the boat, one of the propellers.
So you had to go very, very slow.
Well, we had to go very slow. So we were going to our final destination that night. Instead of going there, they turned around and took back into Cozumel or Cancun. And then we took boats, ferries over to Cozumel because we didn't go there the previous day. We all went to Cancun. So
no.
But they were like, it's better to be in port than it is to try to be out there floating around at sea, chugging around real slow. And then they also had to fly the engineer that could fix it in from Europe.
Oh.
So they had to get him on the island and get him on the boat to fit work on it. So
wow.
So we left that day and started heading back to Houston and was on the water for an extra day. So
wow. I guess it's for free, huh?
What?
That extra day would be for
free. Well, no, it wasn't an extra day. I mean, that day that we'd taken to get to the other port was now us trying to get back because they didn't go to the other port. They stayed in Cozumel. Was us trying to get back to Galveston. So.
Oh, okay. So. Well, I feel sorry for the guys from Chamonix, but I'm sure they made it, you know, trips like this.
But any cruise is rain or shine.
Yeah.
They do not guarantee that you're going to have nice weather during the cruise. That's
what you can do.
You know.
So you're saying there are no beach pictures?
I don't think so because I think it was raining the entire time.
Devin didn't take beach pictures.
Devin said he only took 1,500 pictures this cruise.
That's it?
That's it.
1,500 only? Good God.
So
that's a lot of pictures.
I saw him post that day on Facebook. So you'll have to ask him. Maybe he can share some of the pictures that we can use on the show.
On the next show. Okay.
On the next show. So
all right.
He'll have them edited and photoshopped and the naughty bits blacked out so people can't see stuff.
Yeah. So as I said earlier, I was at Texas Renaissance Festival and I went out with Gary and Andrew because it's Gary's birthday. Happy birthday, Gary. Happy birthday, Gary. So I was there. I went alone. It's kind of sad just driving to Renaissance alone.
Well, it's kind of a long drive. It's almost an hour drive by yourself.
And nobody wants to go. And it's a beautiful day. I actually wanted to go.
Well, I wanted to go, but I couldn't because I already had plans with the boys to pick them up.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm.
And get them back to the airport so they could get home. And then by the time I got done with that, it was after like 1 o'clock. So
it had been
dark by the time I got there and been closed.
Such a bad idea to arrive there 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
I tried to leave around 9 and I still arrived around 11:30. Yeah, two hours and a half just to get there.
It's the last big weekend. So
yeah,
they're open this Friday, I think.
Oh, they have to be, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, no, they don't have to be. They just started that in the last couple of years. They're open the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Oh.
And I don't know if they're open Friday and Saturday, but I think that's it. And I think most of the vendors actually leave before Thanksgiving. So.
Yeah, so this picture that I'm flashing right now on the video is actually the pictures from Renaissance Festival that I took last weekend, yesterday. So, yeah, there's a furry. It's a fox furry.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, in bear-esque style of pictures. I always take pictures of the bears.
Yeah.
Or bears or bearish or cubbish guys. So it's a lot of fun. I got to run around with the maze. Okay. I ran around with Adrian, you know, Gary and Andrew's son.
Yeah.
Wow. That's, you have to run around you know, he asked me if I could be in his team just to run around the maze.
Yeah.
So I had to run around and follow the kid. And
children are a lot of energy.
They have a lot of energy, and you just run around. I can't. I just don't understand. I cannot relate, you know, to parents who have toddlers. I mean,
that's right. That's why they're all look worn out and just disheveled, because they wear them out.
Oh wow! Just running around with a 6-year-old. Well, it's just, I don't know. I don't know if I can stand it, but I'm sure there. Of course, it's very rewarding, mm-hmm. of course, but it's just not for me. It's just not for me having kids. So, okay. So I heard you had a visitor.
Yes, first time ever. One of my family members outside of my mom come to visit. Mm-hmm. My cousin Ed and his wife Becky were driving through Houston. They dropped the oldest son off in Kerrville, Texas for a new job and got him moved out there. And then they were passing through and called and said, hey, can we do dinner or just stop and hang out and chat and catch up? And we did that. And it was nice. They stayed a couple hours and I cooked dinner and we just hung out and had a good time and caught up. So it's nice to have somebody from home here. So mm-hmm. I just wish they could have stayed a little bit longer. So
yeah. Becky?
Becky.
It's a very Southern name, isn't it? Not so much.
I don't think so.
The only Becky I've ever heard is from Roseanne. This character, one of the characters, I think one of the daughters of Roseanne.
Well, this Becky was made famous by that song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was the one in that song.
Oh, okay. That's based on that, not because of
Roseanne. She was like, oh my God, Becky, look at her butt. Well, Becky was the friend, so.
Okay. I should isolate that. Look at her butt. Okay, I should do that. Okay, so.
All about that bass. About that bass.
About that butt.
Yeah. So, okay. Other than that, I'm getting ready for Thanksgiving, which we've already talked about.
So. Okay, so you want to talk about Thanksgiving just really quick?
Well, we already talked about it at the opening.
About being thankful for the.
Oh, about being thankful.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What are you thankful for, Maynard?
I am thankful, of course, for Mike being patient for me, patient with me. And, of course, Ray here, always beside me, especially in the show, kind of literal, he's beside me.
Hi.
And to some of my friends, Matt, Mark, and, of course, Dave and Jason are you know, live about a mile from here. It's just good to have friends, also to, you know, just to someone you talk to. I'm really thankful for all my friends. And, of course, family kind of give you a hard time sometimes, but they're family, they're blood, so that's great. And of course, I'm thankful for a good job, that I have a house over my head, and you know, I'm very thankful for a lot of things. Yeah. How about you, Ray?
I am very thankful for the people that God has put in my life. Because nobody comes into your life without a purpose. Whether you realize it or not, you always learn something from somebody, no matter how small it is, or you might not be sure at that time what it is, but maybe years down the road, you'll be like, oh my God, I met so-and-so and went through this with them and like made you realize something and changed your life. So I'm very thankful for all the people that have come into my life, all the people that are going to come into my life, you know, and make changes and make me see things that I normally wouldn't see or give me different perspectives on or just piss me the fuck off. You know, the normal stuff. So, but I'm also very thankful for Robbie, being a great partner, and the new family with him, and being your friend, Maynard.
Aww. Okay, I need a towel. Anyway, yeah, so what are you thankful for? Yeah, email us, show@bearpodcast.com.
Yeah. Okay, are we ready to go to topics?
Let's go to topics, and this is interesting because we've had, I know friends, I have heard, we talked about it in the show before, a long time ago, and I have friends who are on it, and so take it away, Ray, let's talk about it.
All right, this is part of a blog by Michael Bear, and the link will be in the notes, and you can go check out the whole thing. I've cut it down because Maynard said it was too long, and I couldn't read it all, even though I thought it was a great story. So, Prep and the Moralization of Calamity by Michael Bear. We live in a risky society. One of salient features of American life is the degree to which our government does not take care of us compared to the citizens of other developed nations. With the exception of most indigent among us, we are expected to find a way to pay for our own health care, our own food, and increasingly our own education. With the notable exception of recreational drugs, we are also given more trust to play with more potentially destructive things, cars, firearms, etc., than any of our other civilized compatriots. I will not pass judgment here on this phenomenon, but I would be remiss in not pointing it out. Americans have developed a cultural relationship to risk. We like to tell ourselves that we deserve the calamities that befall us. This has become an almost instinct reaction to calls to expand the social safety net or redistribute the balance of wealth and power or even respond appropriately to a natural disaster, see Katrina. We believe that the poor are poor because of poor choices. We believe that good fortune flows to those who deserve it. We're committed to this myth of fairness and mediocrity. It comforts us and allows us to feel safe, swathed in confidence in our own good judgment. We downplay the likelihood of bad things happening and ponder as to what flaw in another person brought about their misfortune. And this, I have caught myself doing it before, thinking about having these same thoughts.
Okay.
About, well, what did they do to make this choice in their life? Mm-hmm. And, you know, if they hadn't done that, so, and that's a lot about how I was raised, too. So, and I think it's how a lot of Americans are raised. So, Michael goes on to say, what I've observed is that this is also our relationship to HIV. Those gay Americans who survived the epidemic uninfected credit our own good choices. We shame those that who are infected, assuming that in a moment of weakness or bad judgment or sin, they made poor choice that we would not have. Is this necessarily so? Science describes HIV infection as a matter of odds, which implies that many of those not infected engaged in some of the same behaviors we shame and simply got lucky. Despite this, we persist in the idea that HIV infection is the components of the promiscuous. Even if we subsequently shower that person with pity, we make pay-ins to monogamy as an ideal preventative, neglecting the inconvenient fact that many infections occur within the context of what is assumed by at least one partner to be a monogamous relationship, which is very true. Mm-hmm. A majority of HIV positive transmissions is done in monogamous relationships because one of the partners has stepped out and had sex with somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The myth is powerful. The person that most likely to infect somebody is the self-declared HIV negative who is unaware of his or her real status. Yet we continue to strum the Canada of serial sorting, i.e. don't sleep with positive individuals and you will be fine. Research, however, tells us that the safest person to sleep with, assuming imperfect knowledge, is the HIV positive individual who is complying with the antiviral therapy and has an undetectable viral load. We're only now starting to learn the deeply ironic statistic. Thankfully, PrEP is providing us with a new class of safe individual. Mm-hmm. The HIV negative person who maintains his or her negative status by adhering to PrEP. If I'm having pre-sex conversation with you, I now have an additional piece of information which will help me gauge the safety of our encounter. Better yet, I'm on a medication which will dramatically reduce my risk of infection, even if you turn out to be infectious. What PrEP does is put me in control, real control, not the illusion of control that comes from the idea that I'm successfully serial sorting or can do a perfect job of safer sex practices. We have medical professionals who are trained to use of PPE, acquiring Ebola from their patients. Is it really reasonable to assume that an amateur, and we are all amateurs except perhaps for experienced sex workers, can do a 100% perfect job of practicing safe sex and protecting him and herself from HIV? Does that person deserve their infection if they fail or a condom breaks? Does that person deserve an infection if their partner lied to them or are simply unaware of their status? It is absurd. But as long as we believe calamity is the reward for bad behavior, we will continue to suffer. We may not have the opportunity to end the spread of HIV among men who have sex with men. Are we willing to break free from our destructive attitudes and embrace this gift for what it is?
Yeah.
So this article basically said, and it's true, a lot of people think, oh, well, they had unsafe sex, so they got what they deserve.
Mm-hmm. Just to preface this, PrEP, for all those who don't know, is pre-exposure prophylaxis. So it's a regimen of, I guess it's a regimen of medication that you take before you engage in any kind of sex. Okay, I heard this story about, you know, things happening in Palm Springs or in different cities or maybe San Francisco or even New York, like people who are in this protecting themselves. And I should say they do engage in these very risky behavior. Like,
well, here's the question. Even if there wasn't prep, people would be engaging in risky behavior. It's human nature.
That's true, yes.
Have you always 100% used a condom every time you've had sex?
Yes, I have always, yeah, I have.
You have always used a condom?
Always used.
Never made a mistake, not once?
Not a mistake, no.
Okay.
So.
Because you, that in that case, you're one of the ones that stuck by something and have good control and make stuff happen.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot say that because I've had unprotected sex with strangers before.
Really? Oh. So. It is dangerous.
Well, it is dangerous, but you know, you also talk to that person. They say, "Oh, I'm negative," and you trust them, and you hook up and have sex, and nothing happens. You're like, "Oh, they weren't lying."
Oh, they were lying. Oh, God.
So, but
it is the scary part.
But The whole thing is that we also treat people that have HIV with a stigmatism. Like, oh, they're kind of dirty. Mm-hmm. They got the HIVs.
Yeah, they say that, and then they either pass judgment or not necessarily pass judgment, yeah. But probably just. I don't want to have sex with that guy. But he does have a point. These guys who are HIV positive are probably even the safest people ever. Mm-hmm. Because they're probably, you know, they're doing they're healthy.
Yeah.
And they're open about it. They do very low viral loads. That can happen though, right? Even if you have a very if a person has that's very low viral load.
Well, there are people that are HIV positive that you can't, they're undetectable.
Undetectable, that even if they have sex,
they don't
transmit.
There's less likelihood of the other person become HIV positive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I just want to tell this story about one event in California. I heard from a friend. You know, it's like people, they're all in PrEP. Everyone's in PrEP. Everyone in this room who are naked is going to engage in very unsafe sex are all in PrEP. And they just take it and everything, and they would line up and, you know, trying to break records. My record, someone would say, my record is 11 guys. My record is 12. I'm going to beat my last year's record of 11. I'm going to do 12 guys this time. You know what I mean? Getting pounded by 12 guys and everybody's, you know, coming on her. And it's okay because he's on PrEP. I don't know.
Would it be any different if they're using a condom?
That's the point. In these events, I don't think they wear condoms, no.
Yeah, but I mean, even with condoms, there's a chance for that many guys that there's, I mean, so even if they were using condoms, there's still a chance.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I got from this article. If you practice the most perfect safe sex that you can do, there's still a chance that you can become positive.
Yeah, but like one in a few million, maybe.
I don't know. But all it takes is that one in that few million for it to happen to.
Yeah, yeah. And then with a million guys.
And then you're tainted for life because you're HIV positive.
Yeah. But then what this is also saying is that we have a way out. If you are on PrEP, then you're pretty much a level of safety, because even if you wear a condom and then you're on PrEP, oh my God, you're almost like 99.999999%.
But nothing's perfect. It's like birth control. It's not perfect. Just because you're on birth control don't mean you're not going to get pregnant.
Yeah. But anyway, hey, listener or viewer, are you on PrEP? We have to have someone in the show. You know, I know someone online, a friend of mine on Facebook, and I saw him in Growler before. He was saying that, you know, they're open in a relationship and everything. I'm on PrEP, that he was saying on his Growler profile. And ask me what it is. So, yeah. But sometimes I feel like if you're on PrEP, it's like wearing a bulletproof vest and you just want to engage into whatever. And are you really that safe? I don't know. Have you heard of friends or people that you know?
Well, I mean, I've heard of people going to sex parties and stuff. And I mean, I was talking to somebody that was at the house a couple of weeks ago, and they were talking about, you know, they'd just been out to California to visit one of their friends, and he was dragging them along to all these sex parties, and everybody was on PrEP, and they were all like, oh, I'm on PrEP. We don't need condoms and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it adds a level of safety, but if they wasn't doing PrEP, do you still think they'd use condoms?
That's true. probably they would be. Like I said, it's something that it's a choice that they make, and I don't think it was our content.
Historically, most people don't make good choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, regardless, except for Maynard, you make 100% good choices when coming. You don't ever bareback.
Yeah, I don't. I do not. No. Anyway, okay. So this is just an interesting article.
Yeah. So if some of our listeners out there on prep, you can write us in. We'll keep your name silent, or if you want to call in, if you feel safe enough that you don't care about who knows you are, or recognize your voice, and you can call in and leave us a voice mess and tell us about your experience with prep and how you use it and how you see it. I do think some people think that it's like a bulletproof vest,
mm-hmm.
but just because you wear a bulletproof vest don't mean a bullet won't kill you.
Yeah.
So, but I would say this, if I was single and out in the dating world again, I would probably get on prep as added protection.
Okay. Question. Maybe, you know, how much does it cost?
I don't know.
We should interview someone. I have to get,
we
someone
need to get a medical professional.
Yeah, we need, you know what we also need to get here? It's Julio. He's got to have some statistics right now about people in prep.
He might. We'll have to talk to him and see what's going on.
Yeah, Julio, in episode 300, he is our, how do we call him? Our sex advisor? Or our...
He's a sexual worker. No,
sexual worker. He's not a sexual worker.
No, he does HIV prevention and stuff.
HIV prevention, yeah. Or, you know, STD prevention. And he's got these statistics and everything because it's his line of work. And he was even demoing back in episode 300 on how to use female condoms. Guys using female condoms. What about it? Go there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it's just interesting to talk about. So we'll probably have Julio in the show next time.
Yeah. We will find out. And if somebody is a professional and would like to talk about this, please do.
Yep. Let us know. All right, let's go on with the events. Okay, here we go. Midwest Bear Fest, bigger, better, and wet. It's December 11, 2014, in Indianapolis, Indiana. We are moving to a new, larger hotel. It's going to be cold, won't it be? It's going to be cold.
It's going to be cold everywhere this winter. I mean, it's cold everywhere right now.
Yeah, who does a bear run on the weekend, on a December? Maybe if you're in Florida, it's going to be warmer, right? Anyway, so yeah, they're moving to a larger hotel. It will have triple the rooms around the atrium and pool. We should be able to get everyone in our hotel called Caribbean Cove Hotel and Water Park. It's a hotel with a water park?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. We will suggest everyone to book right away. We have 50,000 square feet of water park. We will be having a private Friday night water park party. Tickets will need to be purchased. Tickets will only be $10. And when you purchase your $10 ticket for the Friday night water park party, it will be good for all day of Friday. So they're saying here, we're still working on the events. Bear strip poker.
They should be doing Cards Against Humanity strip poker.
Yeah, strip Cards Against Humanity. Nudie-wed game. Nudie? That's newlywed, nudie. And Bear Bingo will be back. They're working on entertainment, karaoke, bear and cub contest, pool parties. Who still does bear contests? They still do that, right? Bear Watch, we don't do that anymore, right?
No, I don't think we've done that in a year. Yeah.
It's usually it's costume contest.
Yeah, I mean, there's always something different.
So. All right, so for more info, just go to MidwestBearFest.com. Now it's time for the gay, the geek, and the bizarre.
This week, the gay has been very country gay.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yes. Country artist Ty Henron and Billy Gilman come out as gay. Two country that's how I get it all tongue-tied. When you get to Tuesday, the third season, the stuff go out. Two country singers came out as gay Thursday in an event every bit as significant for their industry as for public emergence of gays was for professional sports. Singer Ty Herndon announced first that he had an immediate impact on a double platinum country artist, Billy Gilman, who, hearing of Herndon's move, came out in a YouTube video on Thursday as well. From what appeared to be his living room, the 26-year-old Gilman said, "It's taken me a good many weeks to figure out how to approach this video that you're watching right now.
Mm-hmm.
But today, actually, a fellow country artist and friend made it easier for me to make this video, and I wanted my fans who have stuck by me for many years to know. It's the fans performers worry about. People in the industry, studios, labels, radio programmers, are generally open and understanding, but the fan base is a different thing. Country singer Cheryl Wright, who came out as a lesbian in 2010, told The Guardian in April. She recalled attending a country music concert where she didn't feel comfortable holding her wife Lauren's hand in public. I wouldn't call the industry homophobic, but they're afraid of the fear lots of fans have about gay people. So they patch us as straight and we let them. Why? Because we all want to be part of the big game. In other words, it's all about money. So it might have been an ill-kept secret for Nashville, for example, but Herndon, who always shielded away from coming out publicly for fear it would kill his career, Herndon, whose latest album is The Lies I Told Myself, said the biggest lie he told himself was that I couldn't be gay in the country music. I dreamed about being in country music since I was 6 years old. Herndon, age 52, told Entertainment Tonight's Nichelle Turner.
That long? Good God.
It's my life. It's what I do. It's who I am. And I went to great lengths to cover the fact to be a country star, saying that an out loud on camera hasn't come easy for Herndon, who's twice been married to women and struggled with drugs and alcohol.
Wow.
Herndon said both ex-wives knew he was gay and he got married because he felt it necessary for his career. He has known he was gay since he was a child. I was 10, sitting in church and horrified that I might be a homosexual. Whatever that word meant, I knew that I was probably one, Herndon told People magazine. So that brings a lot of change in Nashville.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very, country music place, right? I mean,
yeah.
Nashville. I've been to Nashville back in 2007. And music is a big thing there.
Yeah.
And
there have been gay country singers.
Yes.
But there haven't been any popular country singers that were gay.
So these guys are really popular and now they're just coming out.
They're just coming out. Well, I don't think Billy Gilman is, he's just getting started. I mean, I think he's had a couple of hit albums and stuff. Mm-hmm. Because he just sold 5 million records, so he's just getting started.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, Dolly Parton might as well come out gay, because she's a big old fag hag.
Well, she's just a fag hag.
And there's a lot of country singers that a lot of gay men wish were gay.
Like Vince Gill?
Vince Gill.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name?
I know many people really like Vince Gill.
Vince Gill, but what's the other one? It's married to what's her name? They're both country singers.
Oh, and wait.
My mind just went blank yet again. Every show it happens.
We didn't write it down.
I know. I should have thought about it right now.
Okay. So,
but I wonder if, everybody always thought that Randy Travis was gay and that he married his manager and she was always a beard for him. I wonder if he'll come out now,
mm-hmm.
if he is actually gay. So.
Beards. What is a beard? Many know a beard. Have you been a beard? No.
I have a beard.
You have a beard.
Because I'm a man.
Beard. Define beard.
Define beard?
Yeah.
You have hair on your face.
No, the other beard.
Oh, the other beard. Oh, it's a woman that acts like she's in a relationship with a man because he's gay to help him pass it straight.
Yeah. It's funny. These terms, beard. Okay, so should we go on?
On to the geek.
Oh my God. I don't know if I should download this app, if it's offensive to me, or if it's something funny. I don't know. I might just download it.
I think it's offensive. You pay to download it.
You have to pay?
So you're giving some hate people some
shit. Oh God.
Shit.
So it's the game called Shoot the Gays. Yeah, it's a game released on Google App Store. This is from Gay Star News. So it's called Ass Hunter. Let's players shoot dead naked gay men as they try to molest you. God, this is horrible. So Google has caused outrage for hosting a game that allows players to shoot dead naked gay men as they try to molest you. Ass Hunter has been playable online 2002, but was uploaded to the Google Play App Store yesterday, on November 23rd. So the game description reads, popular game hunting on gays is now on Android. It's on Android. Play and do not be gay. Oh, God. There's some satire here, I think. I'm not sure. So, legendary game where you are a hunter and your mission is to kill gays as much as you can or escape between them to the next level. Gays may be hidden in bushes and unexpectedly catch you. Remember, When they catch you, they will do with you whatever they want. GSN reader Michael Boudreau said he and several of his friends had already complained to Google about the free game. Oh, it's a free game. See, they're not complaining. I'm sure it's a lot of ads. In this day and age, it's hard to see game design with the sole intent to quite literally targeting LGBT individuals, he said. If Google is not aware of the content of this app, they should be. Yeah, because at Google, there's a lot of gay developers there.
Yeah.
Gay employees. Toronto-based writer Travis Myers told GSN that he found the presence of Ass Hunter on the Google Play Store abhorrent. While it is just an app, there is absolutely no ambiguity about the homophobic intent of this game, which is true. This is a game for people who fantasize about killing gay people. God, this is horrible. Google has affirmed its status on LGBTQ ally many times in the past, but I think the fact that this game was uploaded and available on their App Store means they can and should do better to support gay rights, especially in light of recent high-profile cases of homophobic violence around the world. So the game has been downloaded more than 10,000 times and has an overwhelming number of 5-star ratings? God, these guys are assholes. So Google was forced to remove Bomb Gaza from its App Store in August after a social media backlash over the game, which allowed players to pilot an Israeli Air Force jet to drop bombs and avoid killing civilians. So unlike Apple, Google does not review apps before they are uploaded, which is true.
Yeah.
Once you just pay that $25 a year? I think it's only $25 a year or $25 for the whole lifetime. If you're a developer, you just pay that $25 and then you're an Android developer and you just go online and you can submit your stuff. And unless somebody actually, because that's how free-flowing Android is, the Android community. Once you do that.
Well, obviously that needs to be less free-flowing and somebody needs to regulate.
Yeah, somebody, well, then it kind of violates the openness of Android. But see, there are pros and cons of having an open one and a very closed one. With Apple, if you have a closed one, it's kind of self-regulating. And it kind of knows how to regulate what kind of apps, what access those software can do, and what does it display, what pictures, or the level of if it's PG or if it's general public or whatever. Yeah. But for Android, it's pretty open, unless somebody reports it. So slap your hand app before, you know, they do the slapping of the hand after. So however, its app content policies can ban depictions of gratuitous violence and materials that threaten, harass, or bully other users. There's also a hate speech clause that forbids advocating against groups of people based on their sexual orientation, gender identity. So there's an update. Subsequent to GayStar News writing the story, Google has emailed us to say they have removed the game. However, they refuse to comment on individual apps. Like I said, it's just really a click of a button. I'm not going to approve this. It's really easy on their part. But the damage has been done. 10,000 people already downloaded it.
Because I guarantee you, if it had been called Ferguson, Missouri, and it had been an app about a police officer shooting black folks, it would have blown up and all shit would have blown up over it. So
still part of the geek. Yeah, I guess you can't download anymore. Okay, guys. So just part of the geek is actually what I received in the mail today. It's the Fire Stick. It's the Amazon Fire Stick. And Ray and I have been talking about this earlier today. And
why do you need a Fire Stick?
It's for the bedroom TV.
Because it doesn't have internet capabilities or something?
No, that TV doesn't.
Does that make it Wi-Fi?
Yeah, it is Wi-Fi, yes.
Oh, well, that is a plus.
So Fire TV Stick, it's a Wi-Fi device. It looks like a USB dongle.
He said dongle. He said dongle.
So it's a USB dongle that looks like a Chromecast. And, you know, it sticks it to your HDMI and you plug it into a USB port. Or I think this one has its own plug. You have to plug it separately in the wall. And it's actually a small Roku device. It's like an Amazon Fire TV. So this was on a Fire TV stick. So I think you can play some games, I think. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Well, so the good thing about that, it's wireless.
Yes, it is wireless.
And that's the problem with the TV. Like, I have two TVs and both of them have all these same apps on them to use, like Netflix and all that. But you have to be connected. You have to actually physically plug in the internet.
Oh.
Neither one of them's wireless. So in the living room, it's fine because it's sitting right next to the router. Mm-hmm. The bedroom, I'm screwed in because there's no way to plug it into the internet because there's no internet in there. So I have the Apple TV in there so I can go, even though the Apple TV has pretty much all the same apps except it doesn't have Amazon on it, mm-hmm. I have to use it because I can't use the apps on the TV because it's...
Mm-hmm. So you need a... network connection in your room.
In my room, yes. Mm-hmm. And I tried, and
wireless is not good enough.
Well, wireless is good enough. AT&T doesn't work with Apple.
Oh.
Air.
It doesn't?
It does not.
With Apple TV, you mean?
No, Apple Airports.
Airports, okay.
Does not want to work with it that well.
Oh, that sucks.
So.
Okay. But anyway, so...
And everybody that I know has had problems with that. So mm-hmm. some people can get it to work, but it's very hard. So,
so back to the Fire Stick. It's it can play Hulu Plus, Pandora. You can do Showtime. It has access to Plex if you have Plex. Of course, Amazon Instant Video. Of course, this is an Amazon device. And you can watch ESPN, Flixster, just to see what's on TV. Netflix, of course, Watch Disney and Amazon Music. It's got Crackle also, iHeartRadio. And you can do Smithsonian Channel? Do you have Smithsonian Channel? Have you seen
it?
Yes,
it's on the Apple device. Yeah.
And I heard about reviews about this. It's pretty good because it's pretty seamless. And when you play on a video, it actually just plays. The problem with Chromecast is that it really relies a lot on your network connection. And that's my problem sometimes. I have a 100 Mbps, I think, in the house. I don't know if it's strong enough to handle it. But with the Chromecast, it's kind of slow, kind of choppy. I'm thinking the Fire TV will be faster, so we'll see. We'll see tonight. We'll see.
Or maybe you need to get you some ports, transmitters.
Transmitters, yeah.
Signal transmitters.
We'll see. I think the wireless there is pretty good. We'll see. Okay, Ray, let's go to the bizarre.
This is a follow-up to our buddy Benji from last week.
We just talked about a gay bull last week named Benji.
That's right. And we're talking about him again this week too, Missy.
That's
so get over it.
Okay. I mean, this is fine.
Benji, poor Benji.
Anything about the gay bull. It's bizarre, but yeah.
Okay. It's both Benji the gay bull to get the snip in the UK sanctuary. Poor Benji. Benji the gay bull, who was saved from the slaughterhouse by the intervention of one of the creators of The Simpsons, faces the big snip when he arrives in his new home in the UK next month. The famous non-performing bull made headlines around the world last week when it emerged Hollywood producer Sam Simon intervened to spare Benji from the chop. His owner, who wishes to remain anonymous, said Benji was
reticent
about doing his business in public, while a spokesperson for the Animal Rights Action Network said there was no denying Benji was gay. Despite this, John Watterson, a farmer keeper at the Hillside Animal Structure in the Norwich area, where Benji will spend the rest of his days, as we confirmed that the gay bull would be given the snip. He told the Sunday Independent, he will be castrated. I know they say Benji's gay, but we won't be taking any chances. Any animal that comes in here are neutered because we don't want rescue animals in need not to breed them up and fill up the sanctuary. Although Benji has displayed sexual urges for the male cattle, it is unlikely he will find a mate at the hillside, and he will be the only openly gay bull there ever had at the farm. Mr. Watson said he is over the moon about Benji's arrival in mid-December. He will probably be the only gay bull in the sanctuary, but hopefully he won't mind. Cows tend to be laid back. They just live and let live, he added. I understand that gay cows are not particularly rare, no rarer than in humans, but I can't think of another particularly gay animal that we've had. During his first few days at Hillside, one of the UK's most successful campaigning organizations for animal welfare, Benji will be quarantined to make sure he's okay and we can assess his needs and see if he's got any medical conditions or anything like that. Once he gets the green light, he'll be put out into a field with the herd, but picking a suitable group of cattle will be another challenge. Hopefully he gets put in with the gossipy cows.
Okay.
We've had lots of rescued cows due to neglect, and different herds match different temperaments. If Benji turns out to be quite timid, We wouldn't put him into a herd where he's particularly dominant cow or bull, Mr. Watson said. But with 300 cows to choose from, the farm already has a good hour where Benji will settle. He will have lots of friends, but I think he could end up with one of our friendly cows, Clover or Bramble.
You know what I think we're going to talk about? There's going to be gossipy bulls. That bull's got no balls.
That's right. But if that doesn't work out, Benji will be spoiled for a choice as he share the peaceful compound with 2,000 others, including 100 pigs, 500 sheep and goats, 1,200 horses, 2 emus, 3 ostriches, and hundreds of turkeys, hens, and ducks. Despite being the only homosexual animal, Benji won't be the only Irish immigrant, as Hillside have taken in quite a few horses and sheep from Ireland.
It's an Irish gay bull with no balls.
After he gets there, We'll give him a big welcome. It'll be a nice Christmas. He'll stay right here in the sanctuary for the rest of his natural days, and I'm sure he'll be very happy. Despite Sam Simon's 5,000-pound donation, the Save the Benji Gaywood Camry are still taking donations at Crowdfund UK to ensure Benji's future at the Hillside Animal Sanctuary.
Oh, my God.
So, basically, if you're gay and you're a bull and they send you to a sanctuary, you get castrated.
Well, I guess happens to all animals, I guess.
They do spay neuter stuff. But it's also, most bulls are kind of aggressive. Anyhow, so.
But if you cut their balls, they won't
neuter it. Well, not necessarily, but usually it calms them down some. But because me and our family bull on the dairy farm had quite a few run ins. So he was not gay. He was just a mean son's a bitch. That's what he was.
Okay, so I guess those are our stories. I hope you guys enjoyed them. I enjoyed them. It's pretty good. So I want to do some shout outs. I want to send a shout out to Roger. He got an email from me. He likes the show. Awesome. Thank you, Roger. And also Gary and Andrew and Adrian. Last weekend we hung out with them. It's pretty
Adrian,
cool.
Thank you for wearing your old Uncle Maynard, your old Auntie Maynard out.
Right. And happy birthday, Gary, again.
Okay. Yeah.
How about you, Ray?
Shout out to Becky and Ed for coming in visiting. And, of course, Jay and Devin for spending some time with us at pre-cruise and post-cruise. So it was nice to have them.
Aww. I won't get to see Devin and Gentle next year, maybe. We're thinking about Drench Fur, but we'll see. We'll see about that. And what else? Oh, you just saw a picture. You just saw a picture of Kerry. Shout out to Kerry. We saw him. I don't know if you know Kerry. We saw him at the Renaissance.
Oh my God,
we were
there. Her boobs are so large.
All right, so that's it. Thank you, everyone, for watching and listening. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
If you'd like to leave us a voice your opinion on a comment or article we've talked about on the show, then leave us a voicemail at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR.
Yes, leave your voice message and we'll play it in the show. And you can subscribe via iTunes, Vimeo, and YouTube. You can listen to the show on Bear Radio Network and also on Stitcher Radio. And you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And go to the official website of bearpodcast.com. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. And I will catch you guys in the next episode of Bear Podcast. Many wolves and many hugs.
Go, go. Wolf, what a bear.